Yes, this is the Food and Wine Show, where tonight we're looking at all things dessert. So you put the two together and you get dessert wine. It's as simple as that, isn't it, Ben?
Well, I don't know how you put it all together and got dessert wine, but I loved where you went with that. The DeBortoli family has been a benchmark in the Australian wine industry for many, many generations. And boys, I have to say I was very excited when I walked into the studio this evening because there is a bottle of their Noble One Botrytis Semillon, often regarded to be the best Botrytis or sweet or sticky wine, whatever way you'd like to describe it, in the country. And to tell us all about it, who better than the man who actually makes it, he produces it, Darren DeBortoli. Thanks for your time this evening.
Yeah, thanks, Ben.
Now, it's a pretty well-known name in the wine industry. How long has your family actually been making wine for?
Oh, it started in 1928, grandfather wasn't able to sell his grapes, and being from the old country, decided to turn it rather than seek to go to waste, turn the grapes into wine, and sort of as table wine, which at that stage, predominantly, it was fortified wine that the market was drinking. So table wine with Europeans, they loved it.
So you were well ahead of your age at that point in time.
Well and truly.
Now, you're part of what's called the First Families of Wine, which I think is a wonderful initiative. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Oh, the Australian First Families of Wine was an initiative to try and reposition the Australian wine industry overseas. And the initiative was to show that the industry had a heritage, it had world-class wines, and plus we're a bunch of good blokes and girls.
Darren, we're looking at dessert wines tonight. What constitutes a dessert wine?
Oh, well, I suppose the dessert wine would be designated as something that's sweet, and with Noble One, it's something very different because we don't just use the natural shriveling of the grapes. We use a fungus to produce this world-class sweet wine.
Now, a lot of people wouldn't actually appreciate that, Darren. You mentioned that you use a fungus. Now, that's the Botrytis part of the Botrytis Semillon, and because I've got a very confused look on a face to my left here, Darren, tell us a little bit about the Botrytis and the fungus and what you do with it.
Well, the Botrytis scenario, it's basically like little mushrooms. So what happens when the conditions are ideal, you have the right level of humidity, the right temperature, these little mushrooms grow on the grape, and as they're growing, they suck out the moisture. You also change the chemical composition within the grape. And that's why these dessert wines made from specifically fungus, the kind of scenario, are just so fantastic and so different.
So they suck the water out, which would naturally, it's not
make
watered down
and
make it more concentrated, or sweeter. This just sounds a funny question, but can you create that fungus, or is it just in certain areas of the world?
Well, it's in certain areas, but these require a level of high humidity as well as the right temperatures. You can't be too hot or too cold, otherwise you get what they call a brown rot, which is not desirable. But you can still modify them. There's some people have done it artificially. We unfortunately in the Riverina we have the perfect conditions in autumn where the temperatures are very moderate and we have relatively high humidity. So that's ideal. Now, in terms of understanding exact conditions that are suitable for the Botrytis Semillon Noble Rot, when you see mushrooms popping up in the forest or in your garden, whatever, they're exactly the same.
A description of your wine there, the Noble One, it says layers of intense fruit, including citrus, marmalade, a touch of butterscotch, an attractive vanilla and oak, and it goes on. How do you get a touch of butterscotch in the wine? Is that put in later?
Oh, it's just the function of the Botrytis, because we always don't get it. Sometimes a perfect infection, and there can be a bit of natural shriveling that does occur, but mostly we get this very clean infection, and it's certainly in terms of wine regions around the world, we would definitely have probably the cleanest infections when they do go through the vineyards.
Darren, we're going to be sampling some of your delicious dessert wine just in a moment. A lot of our listeners are pretty discerning when it comes to the more commonplace reds and whites, but perhaps not so much so with stickies and desserts. What's one or what are a few characteristics that we should look out for when we're trying them?
Well, obviously the intensity of flavour, the balance on the palate, and the flavour.
So we've cracked open a bottle of the DeBortoli Noble One here this evening. Now, it's got this beautiful, beautiful colour to it. Yeah. Should we be tasting our sweet wines the same way as we would taste a table wine? So should we look at it, smell it, and then take a mouthful? Is that how you would technically taste the wine?
Exactly the same as a table wine.
I read that a general rule is that wine should be sweeter than the food that it's served with. Is that true, Ben?
Well, when it comes to dessert wines, I think that's a pretty good philosophy, don't you think, Darren?
Well, Noble One, it's very different. Probably some of the best food combinations are very different. For example, the blue cheese goes wonderfully well with the Noble One because the flavour of the blue cheese, the saltiness, balances the sweetness and the flavour intensity of Noble One.
The sweet salt combination. I've had a few lovely sweet Rieslings in my time, and geez, I don't mind pairing it with a nice creamy cheese too, Darren.
Yeah, no, it's a great way of doing it. And sometimes my other favourite is just fresh fruit with it. I think that's just to keep it simple.
You don't get a body like mine by eating too much fresh fruit here, Darren, I can assure you. But look, you've been winning awards right across the country for many, many years. What do you think it is about this wine in particular that really sets it apart from others?
Well, I think it's the history of it. We've been doing it since 1982. We sort of pioneered the natural infection of noble rot. And we were able to develop a not only an Australian classic, but it is truly a world classic. It's known to most of the masters of wine around the world. They would know Noble One. It would be used in the exams, and if they didn't know what Noble One is, they'd probably get a fail.
Are you seeing the market for dessert wines here in Australia growing?
It's probably been fairly constant. It's not, I wouldn't say it's growing, but it's not contracting either.
Well, if you're after a good drop this weekend, you know you can always rely on De Bordley. Why not grab yourself a bottle of Noble One? We've tasted it tonight. I'm telling you, you won't regret it. Darren, always a pleasure to chat with you, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much. All the best.
There he is, Darren De Bordley on the Food and Wine Show.